hello and welcome to Council Culture Conversations, the podcast where we look through the lens of counselling in today's culture to help equip you to live life to the full wherever you are. We believe that everyone should have and benefit from the core skills of counselling that help you do life well, lead ourselves in relationships, mental and emotional health, and in work, navigating life in fast-changing times. Well, welcome back to the Council Culture Conversations podcast. I'm really excited to be able to spend some time with our next guest, Mr. Glenn Williams, who will tell us all about himself in just a few moments. And today we're going to look at midlife transitions. Why are they important and how do we do them really well? So welcome to Council Culture, Glenn. Nice to see you.
Thanks, Nick. Great to see you again. It's been quite a number of years.
It has. Thanks for carving out some time. We were just chatting before before this, and you've mentioned you've been overseas, and we're glad you're back in Australia. And again, thanks for making yourself available today. Can you tell us if we just hopped in an elevator and asked you, Glenn, tell us about yourself?
Well, thank you. A lot of people would probably know most of my story in terms of, for 18 years involved with the work of Focus on the Family in Australia, but then also in the US and overseeing the international work of Focus. So, my background is a psychologist that, found myself working in that space after having, worked a lot with families in homelessness and, areas like that. And, so that informed, I guess, a lot of my work with Focus on the Family. And probably one of the early days of even pre-Focus was actually launching a consulting company that went into the marketplace and actually delivered a range of programs designed specifically to address issues pertaining to relationship issues and how to be a great team member, how do you understand who you are, how do you increase or have a better self-awareness of who you are and what your strengths are and how you can leverage that and use that also to strengthen your home life. And, what is the impact of home life on work life and work life on home life and, all of that in between. So, that was really a part, most of my life for 18 years. And then after my time with Focus on the Family finished, I really struggled, to be honest, Nick, in trying to understand what was going to come next. But started a company called LCP Global, which grew out of my own half-time experience. And now we work with leaders in the marketplace with, clients in Australia and UK, US and Asia. But, very simply, our vision is to see a world well led.
That's simple and compelling, and I think everyone could resonate with that. So I like it. Well done. It takes, just as a sidebar, it takes quite a bit of work to get down to just those few words, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And like you said, it sounds simple to do. Look, I think it's an incredibly compelling thing to aspire to and to focus on. I think it all resonates. It resonates with a lot of people. But, yes, it's hard to do, but you've got to start somewhere, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, well done. I look forward to hearing more about that as we go. To take a few steps back, you mentioned your half-time. What's that term? Let's get some lingo going here with our listeners. The halftime. It's a great term.
It is a great term, and I think maybe to give some context around that, I think that's probably a better way to define it. When I came back after 18 years, I guess involved with Focus in different roles, that came to an end, and for me, I probably underestimated just how comfortable, I guess, you become and how much of your identity is wrapped up in what you do or even in the success of what you feel that you've been a part of. And so when that's not there, there's a natural grieving, I guess, that occurs because there's a sense of loss that can often come with that. And what you've been comfortable doing and enjoying doing all of a sudden isn't there. So what is next? And that's probably not as easy to – it's a great question to ask what comes next, but it's a hard thing to work through. And I'd come back to Australia at that point. That was the end of 2010. And I was introduced to John Sycamore, and John – I've got to know John. John's a great friend and heads up the work at Half Time in Australia. Yeah. And I think John and I, we just hit it off because I think we saw Half Time as being more of a movement. How do we create a movement where we can encourage people at different stages in their working career, if you like, or maybe where they've had a successful career or feel like they've reached a certain point and it's like, you know what, I just – that no longer connects with me. I don't feel like I'm passionate about what I'm working, the area that I'm working in, and yet I don't just don't know quite what to do next. And so, and John shared a story of how he was introduced to Bob Buford, and Bob wrote the book called Halftime, From Success to Significance, and we can come back and talk about that shortly. But Bob really wrote about his own unique experience. He'd lost a son. It was his only child, him and Linda's only child, the age, who was 19, died tragically in a drowning accident. And up until that point, Bob had been part of an incredibly, or had an incredibly successful career. And of course, we'd give it all away if he could in order to have his son back. And so that, to be fair, it really threw him. And he was confronted with the reality of loss, a significant loss in his life of a son. And, and I think that raises questions of, at the end of the day, what is really, really important? And, what are the values that you want to choose to live by? And what is the role of faith? And where does my faith come into this? And, and all of the questions that are asked when you go through a significant loss like that. And so he wrote about that experience, saying he'd hit halftime. It was a midpoint in his career, in his life. And in a way, Peter Drucker often describes it as being we're incredibly well prepared for life one, which is the first half of our life. We're underprepared for life two, which is the second half of our life. And so Bob writes about that. And I remember John telling me about this, and which then cast my mind all the way back to 1994, actually. So I was this naive 30, 31-year-old guy who thought he could take on the world. I remember somebody handing me that book and saying, Glenn, don't wait until you're my age to discover what it is or what significance means and what it is to have a significant impact in the life of others and to find what God wants to do with your life and through your life. And he said, start now. And I remember being given Bob's book all the way back in 1994. And so, so that was really, the beginning of my halftime journey. And, I think it'd be fair to say my halftime journey was not a nice little succinct, concise little program. It was a journey that probably, in essence, took, maybe 5, 6, 7 years of kind of working that through and trying different things.
There's a lot of different directions we could go there with what you've just said. And thank you for sharing that, and particularly the stuff around Bob and his journey. I'll go with that word journey. It's we think of midlife, half time. It's kind of like you want to put a peg in the middle and say it's right about there. You're going to start going through these changes in life, which may be forced upon you or just happen to all of us. Is perhaps a mix of both. Everyone's situations that can be similar and really different. So there's a journey in there, and you just said it took several years. When does it traditionally, this concept of midlife transition, halftime, when does, life 1.0 going to 2.0, what are some of the, I suppose there's time frames, and then there's maybe markers or things that we start to ask ourselves?
Life is never as prescriptive as what we think it is, and sometimes we wish it was, but it's not. And so it is going to be a different story and a different narrative, if you like, for every person. And what we're finding, in fact, if anything, halftime is probably less today about life number one and life number two, as much as it becomes a significant inflection point in a person's life where they might have been working in a particular role or job or career for 5 years or 10 years or 15 years. It doesn't really matter. But just feeling that they're, that they've done what they could in that role and maybe there's something else significant that they could do. And so, for us, I think for Bob initially, Bob's calling, or life purpose was really to work what he defined as the, the latent potential within the American church, becoming quite disillusioned with the the potential that existed in the latent potential of that, or the latent status of the church as we know it today, feeling like there was so much potential sitting in our pews, in church pews, that never adequately got released. And so, he was also a maximizer. I don't know if you're familiar with the Clifton Strengths you know, he's a kind of an activator, maximizer kind of guy. Yeah. And so, you know, he's going for leverage. He's a typical entrepreneur, businessman. He's going for leverage. And so he didn't just want to, it's not that he wasn't interested in anybody, or but it was more like, no, you know, I want to surround myself with people who have got resources, who have got success that they can leverage to do some big things and some significant things. But, you know, with a very strong, you know, kingdom, you know, faith orientation. And so, you know, he coined the term 100X, which is, you know, based on the story of, you know, Matthew 13, where, you know, the sowing of the seed, and sometimes it falls on good soil and not so good, but, you know, let's go for a result that's, you know, 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. And so, you know, his goal was, I want to go for the 100 times, and which is a great, and that was a great thing for him. And, you know, God really blessed, you know, him in that context. And so, you know, for him, it was, like I said, his halftime was that, not even just necessarily a traditional midpoint, it was a crisis. It was the tragedy of losing his son, which caused him to question everything that he was doing. And, you know, and was God, you know, so, not so much was God trying to get his attention, but, you know, I think it was like, well, this has happened now. How do I choose to live my life beyond that point, or allow that to inform or feed into what is next? And so for some people, Nick, that's, you know, like I said, that's at age 30, 35. Maybe you've been a really successful sales guy in a company. You're an up and comer, and you get there and think, this is fantastic, but maybe it's not all, hasn't, you know, turned out to be what you thought it would be, and that there's more to life than just chasing success. So I think, you know, halftime is, we've moved beyond halftime as just being life one, life two, to really being that significant inflection point in a person's life.
And you mentioned that that for you was a period of 6 or 7 years. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. I'd like to say, you know, it was an easy time. I think, you know, I struggled with it. And why did I struggle with it? I think I struggled with it because I had never really previously wrestled with what to do with my life. I think I'd literally just gone from one thing to another, and, you know, I guess in some ways you'd say quite successfully, and so, you know, to all of a sudden be confronted with that sense of, well, okay, no, you're out of that now, and yes, it was great while it lasted, and you saw some incredible things and did incredible things, and you've got an amazing network of people, and so for me, I found it to be an incredibly isolating time. A time where, and if I can be really, you know, transparent here, I think coming out of a ministry context and struggling with that, and getting increasingly frustrated with well-meaning people saying, look, everything's okay, just trust God, everything will be fine. Okay, right. You know, really wrestled with that. And I think I went through a phase where, and this is very honest, but where I just thought, listen, I don't want to work for another church or ministry again in my life. Yep. And so for me, I found it to be an incredibly lonely time. I found it very difficult when people would say, so what do you do? You know, which is what most of us ask, you know, when you meet somebody, for the first time, you normally start off and say, oh yeah. And so tell me, what do you do? And so what do I say, Nick? Well, I used to, you know, I used to work here. And of course, and when you're in between roles, you know, not only did you used to, but, you know, you feel in a way that pressure to say, well, actually, not only did I used to work for Focus, but hey, listen, I held this position, because it's as if you're trying to validate your own success, even though you're kind of in between roles. And so I found that very difficult. You know, we all go through voluntary and involuntary periods of isolation, and it's during that time that God often strips away an identity that we've become very familiar with and comfortable with and even dependent upon. It's how other people view us as well. And yet that's not the identity that is going to serve you as you move forward in discovering what he has for you next. In the same way that typically you can't strip paint and paint a house overnight, nor can you strip away an identity that has taken years to grow and develop and become something that you're comfortable with, to stripping that away and allowing God to replace that with something different. But thankfully, I think through the halftime process, I think what happens then, coming back to that, is, you know, you surround yourself with people where it's a safe place to process and a safe place to journey, a safe place to question, a safe place to even dig deeper in some, even in terms of some of the deeper questions about your own faith and how that relates to you, who you are and where you're at today and where you're going. Being able to do that in a place where it's okay and safe is an incredibly important part of the halftime journey.
So you, and we could perhaps extrapolate that to say we will go through, if I might do some paraphrasing here, but we're describing a wilderness experience that went for some time.
Sure. Look, and I think that's true for me. It's not necessarily a wilderness experience for everybody. Having said that, it can often mean a fairly significant transition in a person's life. And so with most transitions, you're transitioning from what you've always known and what is comfortable and maybe even what you've been good at. And you could just be in a role that you're very natural at it, you're very good at it, it's where your strengths are, but it may not be what you're passionate about. You've just done it and succeeded in it because you've always been good at it. And so when all of a sudden you come to that particular pivot point, I guess, in your life where you realize that, yeah, look, I might be good at it, but actually it doesn't get me out of bed. It's not what motivates me. It's not what I feel most passionate about. Well, then you're talking about making a significant transition. And so like with most transitions, you're letting go and to an extent grieving the loss of something what you've always known to transitioning into something that's new, that all of a sudden it's like, oh, hang on a minute, this is new territory. I need different people around me. I need to do different things. I might need different skills. I might need to explore different opportunities and put yourself out there actually even and say, God, is this really what you mean? Is this really what's next? What are you trying to teach me through this? So for some people it can be a wilderness experience. It's not that for everybody, but typically, in many cases, it involves making some form of transition, and with any transition, there comes change and all the issues and emotions that come with change.
Yeah, I'm thinking about transition as you use that language. Is they always begin with an ending, and as you said, there's a loss and a grief, and then there's a messy middle, which could be months for some people, could be years, or you could be wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. And we see people, don't we, in life who we know. And there might be and there's no judgment here, but you see people who might be in their latter years and you could tell they didn't transition somewhere back somewhere, that there was an opportunity there where that change, that transition, that 2.0, that next phase of their life just might have presented itself, but they didn't go with it or may not have even known that was a big thing. And you mentioned a couple of things there around community and process. Let me take one step back. Is it important to be having time alone to process between you and the Lord and then with other people and then having some process or dot points or a framework or something to go, look, there's no prescription for your halftime journey or transitioning in midlife, but hey, here's some of the headlines that are important to consider.
Yeah, no, it's a great point, Nick. Whilst we may not offer a set of prescriptive tools here's the one way to do the journey.
The silver bullet.
I think what we have discovered, and, with thousands of people have gone through a halftime journey now, in different parts of the world. And I think, what we've come to see is that there are certain tools that we define as being part of a framework that guide people, in their thinking and to try things. And even to be, very honest about some of the emotions that they're likely to encounter, and even their faith. And I think we've got to be really honest about this. I think part of surrounding yourself with people who care and where it's a safe place to process is, it's not unusual to find that not only is it a messy space to be in halftime, often it can be a messy time spiritually. It may be the first time where for a while that you've been out in that territory where, that it is the unfamiliar, where it's like, oh, hang on a minute, I feel pretty alone in this. Or now I'm really having to learn what it means to trust God in a new way. And whilst, that might be okay, it's new and it's challenging. So, I think even there we find, and particularly if I can say it this way, a lot of people have been very comfortable in their own success or in the success that they've experienced in their workplace, if you like, to all of a sudden put that to the side and be in a place where you can't hide behind that anymore. You know, that you're actually moving out and needing people to walk with you, and in a way, by hiding by their success, or with their success, or behind, I should say, behind their success. There is that sense where you know, maybe their faith has not been as vibrant or hasn't been as thriving in a way as what it could be or should be. And so it's not unusual to find people who, in a way, have just gone through the motions. Their faith has always been important to them, but it's kind of become somewhat muted. It's become somewhat benign. It's not really that exciting anymore. It's just something that they do. They walk up to church on a Sunday morning. They sit in the pew with a whole lot of other people. They may even attend a small group, and that's okay. But they know all the answers. They say all the right things. But there's nothing incredibly exciting or compelling about their relationship with God anymore. And so I think the halftime journey can actually help to unearth some of that and help people discover that actually life can be adventurous. Faith actually is about often about taking a risk. And we don't mean, you know, by that we don't mean throwing caution to the wind, but we say, look, you know, explore the strengths that God's given you and coming alongside or being with like-minded people who have got the potential to make things happen, who think big, who want to change the world, who want to make the world a better place, who want to see people embrace life and all that it should be or could be, that this is what life can be like. And but, you know, if you're in that space of where you've been feeling isolated or feeling alone or feeling disillusioned with where you're at the moment, it could take a while to get to that point. And so doing that in community, I think, is really, really important.
Yeah. We really need the voices of others. We need time in solitude and the voices of others speaking into our life. Because what you're describing, and having been through a journey myself, is you're going from what you're good potentially. I know what I'm doing. I'm good at that. You've had some success in it. Hey, this works for me. I'll just hit repeat and I'll keep doing it, and it'll keep working until it doesn't. And this transition period is often characterized by, hang on, you may not verbalize this, but I found that it was like, I don't know what I'm doing right now, or I don't know what's coming next, which of course we have very little control over anything. It's just we get to a point where we realize it.
Well, and I think you're right. And I think, you know, we often do say those things, and I think the scary thing is we just don't know our way through it. I think there are times there where we've been, you know, if you've grown up in a church context or, you know, and you've been a Christian most of your life, I think, you know, we'd like to have all the answers. And so all of a sudden when you don't have an answer, when you're not sure you're in the right place or the space where you really want to be, it's that feeling of lostness, that feeling of awkwardness, and it can be damaging and to be honest, very frustrating. When people just say, well, listen, you're clearly not in the place where God wants you to be, or you're not trusting God enough, or you're not walking with him closely enough. And it might be some of those things or all of those things. But I think, you know, this is not a time for passing judgment on anybody. In fact, if anything, we need to extend incredible grace and mercy to people and say, look, it's okay to live in this mess and to kind of, you know, struggle through. And I think sometimes we think, you know, in a way that the perfect Christian life is when you've made it to the other side, when you've actually made it through, you know, and you're not in that sense of messiness. I actually think sometimes the Christian life is actually about, you know, how your faith makes sense of the mess that you're currently in. I don't think God means to take you out of mess where, you know, if you take the view that we all live in a state of mess, and people who don't know the Lord maybe are in a state of mess as well, then if we extricate ourselves from that mess, then how can we serve those that are actually in the mess? You know, yeah. I don't know. I'm not a theologian, Nick. So, but I think, you know, what I've learned is it's okay to ask questions. It's okay to wrestle with your faith, even to the point of saying, listen, you know, I'm really struggling with that. You mentioned about the silent retreat. I think, that time of solitude, and I think that can be an incredibly powerful thing. In fact, it's one of the things we encourage people to do when they're in the halftime. Surround yourself with a great community of people who can speak in your life and encourage you and not judge you for that part of the journey that you're in. But there are times there where it's, you know, we would encourage you to go away and, you know, take a Bible with you or take a notepad and write down a few thoughts. You know, walk along the beach, go into nature, and just and just sit, just listen, don't have to say anything. And I think that's important. And I think, Nick, if I come back to the beginning of my journey, I wish somebody had said to me, don't hurry.
Yeah, wow.
Because I think there was that pressure, you want an income, you need an income, you've got to pay bills. And so, you know, you're looking for that next thing and, okay, I got to get a job really quickly, I need money, all of those things. And so I think, you know, and that pressure is very real. But because of that, and because of the need to be active, and we sometimes mistake being active as being, you know, productive, or productive as being strategic, whichever way you want to look at it. That we can sometimes miss what God's trying to say to us in those moments of silence and in those times when we stand still. And I'm sure there are those moments when he just says, hey, Nick, just be still. Just be still. You're missing the point here. And maybe, I don't know, Nick, maybe my journey took a lot longer than others because I resisted being still long enough to listen. But I don't know.
No, look, that is such good wisdom. And thank you, because I think we were trained in that. We live in a time where you ask someone how they're going and they're busy, and we want to get on with things. Perhaps we want to, the diamond takes time to be made. We want to get off the operating table quickly. And perhaps is it that the work that God wants to do is not about just really our circumstances, it's in us, isn't it? We are the transition.
Yeah, and in fact, it's interesting. I think, one of the changes that we've seen occur with halftime in terms of the process is that the temptation is to focus entirely on doing. You know, it's when we're doing, and that's, unfortunately, that's what's wrapped up in, it's where we lose our identity a bit. It's often in what we're doing, not so much in who we are or what we're being. And so we encourage people to think, look, it's okay to sit down and write, here's what I want to do. Here's what I'm feeling God's put in my heart, or here's some ideas that I've got, and I want to work that through. But, we encourage you to think about, who is the type of person, or who is he asking you to be? And, and to be honest, as difficult as it might sound easy, I don't know, but I think that's almost harder than the doing, because, we often just race into the doing because that's what we're most comfortable with, and we lose sight of the work that God wants to do in our own hearts first.
What just thinking about this set from a process point of view, what happens if you don't do this? I'm going to go negative for a while here, because there might be some people. Let me look at it another way. There might be some people out there who are going, I haven't done this. Like, what are these guys? This seems pretty important. What Glenn's talking about, I haven't really given this any thought. Or they're thinking of someone in their life that they love and care about who they can see they might be stuck. Or just, that's describing him or her really well. What can we do? What do you do in that stage? A, that I think I might have not done this intentionally, or I've missed the boat. It's too late for me. And second to that, what happens if we don't do this? We just keep rolling on.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I think, first of all, let's separate the process from the program.
Yeah.
Let's not focus on the program and, yes, halftime have a range of tools and a program, but let's move away from that and just focus at the moment for the process.
Yeah, good. The person and the process, yeah.
Yeah, because yeah. Because I think, what's the risk? Well, the risk comes back to what we just said earlier. It's you settle for less, right? And it's, again, it's not a matter of being judgmental at all. In fact, we don't want to pass judgment. I think this is a matter of coming alongside and encouraging people who actually have a burning desire for something beyond what they currently experience. There's a sense of yearning for more, even though they might be in an incredibly successful role. They might have, if you like, made it. And yet they're still not happy, not content. Things are not, there's a stirring within their spirit. They're not quite where they need to be or want to be, and they can't quite put their finger on that. So
yeah.
you can choose to avoid that, just keep doing what you're doing, and but one day you're still gonna come to that space of saying, what did I do? How did I just, did I just not so much waste my life, but did I just do all of that for me? And what I wanted and what was important for me. And I know Bob Buford, he would often sort of say, success is doing something for me, significance is doing something for somebody else.
Yep.
And I think, you know, we've got to be careful how we use that, obviously, because, you know, often we can be incredibly successful in what God has called us to be and to do, and we can leverage that for some great things in the lives of other people, which allows us to be significant. But I think the risk is if we choose not to listen to that inner voice, if we choose not to pay attention to that stirring, that maybe that it kind of almost becomes a bit like that dripping tap, that nagging, then I feel like, you know, you run the risk of, can I be as bold as saying, I think you almost become hardened. I think you become so set in your ways and so set in your way of success and what is important to you that you actually end up giving up what is most important.
You've got a unique insight into this area, personally, if I could say professionally, experientially, is one of the reasons is like it's hard and it's scary? Is it a fear thing? And is it a, what do you think some of the main sort of, I'm going to drive around this, I'm not going to go through?
Well, we're creatures of comfort, really, aren't we? You know, we live in and grow up in a world that craves, you know, financial security, wants stability. We want predictability. We want control as much as we say we don't. We want to be comfortable, and so I think, you know, as long as they're the values that are driving your decisions, it's really hard to see what exists beyond that or outside of that. So often, and certainly in my case, it can often take a bit of a crisis, or as it did in Bob's case as well, a crisis point where God's got Bob's attention and he got my attention, and it was like, wow, okay, I wasn't ready for this. Now I can choose to avoid it, and in some cases, Nick, for me, it would have been easier for me just to have gone on and to work in another organization or another business, and there were plenty of times where I was tempted to do that, but I felt that wasn't the right thing for me, and that there was other work that God had to do in my life first. And so I guess ultimately it comes down to, and again, Bob Buford would talk about, you know, from success to significance to surrender. Are you willing to surrender your view of success? And I think that's an interesting question in itself. What you define as success may be very different to what God defines as success, for you and in your life. So, it is hard. It is uncomfortable. Can I say it's also exciting? It's disturbing. It's exhilarating. I think I've seen and participated in some incredible things and met some amazing people along the way, and seen the fruit, if you like, of what God's done in their life and through the utilization of the resources that God has blessed them with for greater things. And those things may never have happened, you know, had they just maintained the status quo. And again, you know, I think if you've got people listening to this, I think they know, I think deep down we know whether or not this is stirring within us.
Sure do.
You know,
sure
and
do.
How our hearts are responding. You know, we get that sense of we think there's more, but we're not sure what that is, or is what we're doing, is that all there is? Is this really it?
No, that's so well said. So someone, they've been listening today and they can identify with what you're saying. They may or may not go down the path of doing the halftime program, which I think you've given a really good sort of synopsis of, and the why and the what. But if they're just thinking, what would be some of my next steps as a person who's, hey, that's me. They've got that stirring that you described. They just know in their spirit this is really referring to me or to their husband or wife or dear friend or whatever. What's one or two things they can do as a next step?
Yeah, look, I would actually encourage people to read the book Halftime by Bob Buford. It is, I guess it's been around since 94 now, but it's, and Halftime has progressed, I guess, if you like, in lots of different ways. But the story is still a great story of how Bob dealt with his own journey. And I think it gives great insight into questions that we can ask of ourselves. Are we willing to go deep? Are we willing to sacrifice, what we perceive as being, what we defined historically as being success, You know, is life more than what it is currently? You know, are you really happy with where you're at? And if you're not, then maybe, you know, maybe God is stirring within you and encouraging you to talk to somebody else who actually has experienced what it means to get on the other side of that disillusionment, that sense of, you know, that lack of feeling, you know, lack of content and beyond. But, there are plenty of people who've gone through halftime. You could contact the halftime office, I'm sure. They'd put you in touch with somebody who could have a chat to you. But I think that's where I'd start. And I think just, it's a good thing just to find one or two people that you trust.
Yeah.
Who are not going to judge you for how you might be feeling. And I think that's an important point to make, Nick, is, find somebody who's not going to judge you for being real, for being authentic. It is okay to struggle. Maybe your faith is not where you want it to be, and maybe it's perhaps being pushed to the background of, a whole lot of other things that have been going on in your life, and that happens. This is not a matter of judging. It's not even a matter of saving. It's just a matter of, okay, hey, listen, let me come and walk this part of the journey with you and encourage you and pray for you, and it's okay. We can go on this journey together.
Yeah, that's really good, because we all go through this. I mean, this is an everybody scenario. It's a different points in our life, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah. So and again, I think it's important to realize you might feel like you've lived most of your life, and maybe you've got to that certain age and you don't feel like, do I have the energy, the capacity, whatever, to keep going? And you might think, gee, do I is there another season of my life that I can really invest in, get involved in? And, don't discount that. And, what has happened in the past and where you are today doesn't have to define what is next, but it can be a great catalyst for what comes next.
Glenn, any other thoughts or, final pearls of wisdom you'd like to leave our listeners with, or just on your mind that you haven't been able to share yet?
I think what we need more of in this world is we need people who can show mercy, who can listen, who can genuinely care, and model, I think, what a fulfilling life can be like.
Yeah. So is it fair to say in that don't hold back on this, because the world really needs and will benefit from what this next version of you is, this next season in your life? Is it going to be a blessing to them and a blessing to those around them?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and take one step, go out and, find those people, talk to those people that you see and are having an impact, making a difference, because I guarantee it all didn't come naturally for them either.
Yeah, tell me your story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's wonderful. Well, Glenn Williams, thank you so much for your time, sharing your story, your experiences and wisdom in this. I know this is going to resonate with a lot of people. And we've just been blessed by hearing from you today. So, mate, we're very grateful for you, and thanks for sharing today.
Thanks for joining me today on Council Culture Conversations, which is brought to you by the Australian Institute of Family Counselling, AIFC. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast, review it, and we'd be so grateful if you would share it with your friends. Also, if you're someone who's interested in a career in counselling or coaching, or being equipped with the foundational skills to help others, then look up AIFC and see what's on offer there. Thanks again, and remember, together we can impact our culture with good counsel. Bye for now.